The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the week of Jubilate, that's several weeks ago, John 16 first appeared on our pericopal radar, and we considered that your sorrow shall be turned into joy, all right? And that was the theme of Jubilate. Last week was Cantate. And in Cantate, once again, John 16, and we learned that it was advantageous for us that Jesus go away to his Father, because when he goes away, he will send the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and it is the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost, who brings us to faith, who reveals all things to us, who comforts our hearts and sustains us in the faith. And now today, Rogate. Once again, we encounter John chapter 16. And today, we consider for a few moments, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the access to God the Father that we have in the name of Jesus. And the solemn promise of Jesus that in his name the Father will hear and answer every proper Christian prayer prayed in the name of Jesus. Now, our gospel lesson, once again, it ends with this phrase in verse 28. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. All right? So Jesus emphasizes that the Father sent him into the world. Not for nothing was he sent into the world, but he was sent into the world in order to complete and to fulfill the plan of God for the salvation of the world. This plan that was decreed from all eternity before God created the heavens and the earth in communion with the Holy Ghost and the Son of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost decreed the salvation of sinners through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. That means that your salvation, your faith, and your hope are not grounded in happenstance things. You're not trusting in the truth of something that might be, but you are believers in and benefiters from, awkward phrase, benefiters from this plan of salvation that was decreed from all eternity in the councils of the Holy Trinity and has been brought to manifestation and fulfillment by the Father sending his Son into the world. So that when Jesus says, again, I leave the world and go to the Father, what he is thereby saying to us is that God's plan to redeem sinners from eternal damnation, from their sins, and from all that holds us in the oppression of the devil, that this redemption and this plan has been fully accomplished, which is again what Jesus meant when he cried out from the cross, it is finished. So it's important for us when we think about what Jesus has to tell us now about our access to God the Father, that we remember very clearly and very truly that all of this is possible in one and only one way, and that is through the redeeming work of Christ, who was sent into the world to be our Redeemer. He has accomplished the work of redemption in every aspect, so that now when we hear the promises of the gospel, we are hearing something that your souls can rest themselves in and your hearts can be assured of, because it wasn't just a series of accidents and happenstances that, oh, kind of worked out for our benefit, but the eternal plan of God was manifested and brought to fulfillment in time by God himself becoming incarnate, the Son of God, and now through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we know that the plan has worked, that God's sacrifice for our sins has been accepted, that eternal life has been won, and now as we Christian believers, baptized in the name of the Blessed Trinity, live our lives every day in this world, we live our lives in the presence of a gracious God whose ears are always open to our prayers. And so let's consider what it means to have access to the Father. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now notice what Jesus says, and there's really no way that we can squeak out from under this, right? He is making the solemn promise, that's verily, verily, the solemn promise that when we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father will give us what we ask. Catch it once again. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. All right. Now, he goes on and he says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. All right, so what he's doing is he's kind of doubling down on what he said in verse 23. Now, he says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. All right, Jesus is talking about the fact that the disciples, living every day for 3.5 years with Jesus and learning from him, they still were nevertheless not yet in that new covenant relationship which would be established and brought to fruition with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Right? At the Last Supper, Jesus speaks of the cup, and he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. All right, so in connection with the blood and the death of Jesus, the New Testament or New Covenant is put into effect, and we become the heirs who receive what Jesus bequeathed to us in his testament, which is the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. So Jesus is speaking to them on the night that he was betrayed. Very soon, this new covenant will be put into effect by the death of Jesus. And then the resurrection of Jesus will vindicate that and will publicly proclaim that it is so. And so now our faith may be sure that when we pray in the name of Jesus, God hears us and he answers our prayers, because he has attached his promises to it. And not only did he die to pay for our sins, but he rose again to vindicate his claims, his promises, his redemption, and the establishment of the new covenant or the new testament. So hitherto, up to this point, he says to the disciples, you have asked nothing in my name. He says, ask. And that word ask is in the imperative. It's a command. Ask, and ye shall receive. So in one little phrase here, we have the law and the gospel. The law commands us, ask. And the gospel promises, ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. One of the joys of the Christian life is to receive God's answers to our prayers. As we are encouraged in our troubles and in our trials to pray to the Lord and ask for his help and for his grace, what a wonderful encouragement and joy to the heart it is that God sends his answer in his way and in his time. So in verse 23, the solemn promise, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And then again, the repeat, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You already have joy in the forgiveness of your sins. You have joy in the gift of everlasting life and salvation. You also have joy when God shows you that he has heard your prayers by sending you his answer in his way and in his time. Now we need to spend a moment here talking about what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Some people think of that superstitiously. That is, they think that whatever they say, if they just attach the formula, in Jesus' name, amen, that somehow or other, whatever they say, putting that little formula, in the name of Jesus, amen, makes it solid. All right? And that's kind of like a superstitious understanding of praying in the name of Jesus. Jesus wasn't giving us a magic formula that we could stick at the end of our prayers to make sure that, I wasn't quite sure whether God was hearing my prayer, but I used the magic formula in Jesus' name. Now he has to listen to my prayers because Jesus said so. That's not the intent of praying in the name of Jesus. To pray in the name of Jesus means that you address God with the understanding that you are acceptable to God because Jesus, his Son, has paid for all your sins, and that you are baptized into the church of Jesus Christ, and that you are a recipient of God's grace through Christ's coming into the world, obeying the law for your sake, and suffering the penalty that your sins deserve, so that you are now forgiven and set free from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And that Christian faith, that understanding of who you are before God and what a privileged relationship you are given with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus, to come to God in the name of him who has made you acceptable to God through the atoning sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world. The second thing that praying in the name of Jesus means, that you come to God believing in, trusting in, and being in submission to the will of God as it is revealed in Holy Scripture. So that you come with the desire not to have your own will done, but to have God's good and gracious will done in your life and in the life of those for whom you pray. So praying in the name of Jesus means to pray with faith in your Redeemer, that God hears you for Christ's sake. And secondly, that you pray that God's good and gracious will would be done in your life, and not that your will would be done, whether it's God's will or not. Now, one more thing that I want to say, and that is, don't make prayer more difficult than it already is. You know, many people have told me over the years that having a consistent prayer life is one of the toughest things that they try to develop, and very often they feel very inadequate in their prayers. And very often that comes because we think that we have to be long-winded and eloquent, that we have to use the right words, that our prayers have to be filled with scriptural quotations and elegant grammar, and that we have to say things in just the right way, and we have to keep saying them. Listen, God is listening for your prayers. And the moment you open your mouth or lift up your heart to God in prayer, He has already heard your prayer, and He is already at work on answering your prayer. Therefore, you do not have to worry about whether or not you said it just right, or whether or not you prayed effectively. You have prayed effectively when you believe that for Christ's sake, God hears your prayers, and you thereby simply, briefly, and to the point, because God knows everything that's on your mind, so when you pray, pray simply, straightforwardly, and briefly, and let your request be made known to God, and He hears it, and He promises to answer your prayer. So don't make praying harder than it already is by thinking that you have to be eloquent or that you have to bring in scripture quotations. Now, you can do that if you want to. If you've been studying the book of Psalms and you've found some formulas in the book of Psalms and some phrases that you like, wonderful, right? And God is happy to hear that. God does not have a short attention span, right? But God also knows exactly what you need. And before you ask Him, He knows what you need, and He already is planning to help you, but He has commanded you to pray, and He has promised to hear and answer your prayers, and therefore, you can pray very briefly, as long as you are praying with your full attention. Ask what it is that you need, and then let it be. And say, Amen. Yes, it shall be so. All right, now, the last thing I want to say this morning is Jesus says that, He says, these things I have spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh that I will no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. All right, and he says, in that day you shall ask in my name, and I'm not saying to you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father loveth you, because you have loved me and believed that I came out from God. So he says, it is of necessity that in our life together I have said many things to you that are in proverbial and somewhat obscure language. But the time is coming, and he's talking about after his resurrection, and he's talking about when the Holy Spirit comes down into their hearts on the day of Pentecost. He says, as a result of his resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit, he will speak to them plainly and no longer in Proverbs. And he says, in those days, you shall ask in my name. And he says, listen, I'm not saying that the Father is some kind of unwilling, grumpy Father, and that I have to cajole Him to be good to you. And so I'm not saying that I will cajole the Father, that I will ask on your behalf. Now, Jesus, of course, is not saying that He doesn't do that. He does do that. He constantly intercedes for us at the right hand of God. But He's making a point here. He's saying, the Father Himself loveth you. And the reason why the Father loves you is because you have loved me and you have believed that I came forth from God. So, Jesus is saying here, I am graciously disposed toward you, and the Father is also graciously disposed towards you through your faith in me and your love towards me. And therefore, the picture that you ought to have of God the Father is of a gracious God whose countenance smiles upon you and who is desirous to bless you in every way and finally take you into glory. All right. So the basic thing here today, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. The redemption of Jesus Christ has made all things new. You have been placed in an entirely new situation by your baptism. You are in the kingdom of grace. You are a member of the kingdom of glory. You have eternal life even now while you live in this world. So rejoice, let your joy be filled, and do not be reticent or reluctant to bring all of your concerns before your heavenly Father. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.